Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Doubters. It's Thursday, the 15th of October, and we have a guest joining us today, and it's Carol. I meant to ask you about the pronunciation of your surname. Oh, no, did you know? I was going to attempt it. I'm going to put on my best French accent. Carol Douillon.
Hey.
How's that?
You've got it.
Have I got it? Make sure I'm not good. That's brilliant. Okay, my best attempt at a French accent, that is. Carol, I'm going to... you're joining us from Cambridge, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, how's life up there with you today?
Right now it's sunny, but it was raining before, so we have a bit of a funny weather these days.
Oh, yeah, it's my perfect day today. I love this time of year. Perfect blue sky, crisp, all the trees are turning. It's just my favourite time of year, so I love it. Anyway, just to welcome anybody who's here for the first time, this is The Doubters, this is my private community, and this is a space where we aim to embrace self-doubt as a positive force, a route to meaningful and sustainable growth. And this community is where I explore all these different aspects around this concept that I'm creating, the purpose of self-doubt. And I use this as an exploratory learning space. And most often I have guests here to talk about a particular aspect. And we don't plan our conversations too much. We just go into it and see what unfolds. And I love to go into conversations and with that. And particularly Carol today, she's another coach. So we'll probably end up coaching each other a bit. I don't know what's going to come out. But, conversations with coaches are always good because they get down to the nitty gritty pretty quickly. So, yeah, I like that. our topic today is being a multi-potentialite. And we'll explain what that is in a minute. But just to say, we've got a couple of people joined us here live, and that's fantastic. The waiting room's off, so people may come and go. Carol and I will have a chat until about 20 to the hour, and then we'll open up and anybody can come in with any questions or contributions at that time. And if you want to make a contribution, but you don't want to come on the recording, we're going to close off at about 10 to the hour, and you can stick around and we'll just have a chat afterwards, and anything can happen there. So really love people who are joining us here live, but there's absolutely no pressure to contribute. Really happy for you to just come along and just listen and, see what it's all about. Okay, let me introduce Carol to you. So Carol is a coach, and I really like to introduce people through my connection with them. And, really, we just met through our coaching school, Animas. So shout out there to Animas. And it's funny, Carol, I was remembering the first time, I'm not actually sure we met, so I was just recalling this today, and I came across you, so it was the October 2016, and it was the Animas Summit. And it was really funny to think about this, actually, because at that time I was training with Animas, and I was sitting at the back of the room, and I remember being like a bit sort of, intimidated by this group somehow. And I was sitting at the back of the room and I was thinking, I'm not asking any questions. I'm that kind of person that goes along to places. I don't know. I'm always kind of nervous about asking questions. But I always feel like I should be asking questions, one of those. And I remember you were there. You were right in the middle of the room and you asked about two or three questions. I don't know. You asked questions. I was like, oh, my gosh, she's really asking questions. And, and I remember. Did you remember it?
No.
So funny. I think you were fairly new to the community, so I got the impression that you were just like, right, what is this all about? Really there asking questions. I thought, gosh, she's really brave, she's not frightened to ask questions. So yeah, I really I noticed you, but I don't think we actually probably met until later on. But anyway, it was just funny to reflect upon that time. So Carol, what do you want people to know about you as by way of introduction?
well, it's a funny way to introduce me, actually asking questions, because I think you nail what is one of the attributes of a multipotentialite.
Oh,
is
really?
The curiosity.
Ah.
That's massive. And I've just realized lately, I'm 54 and I'm still understanding who I am. And people keep telling me I'm asking lots of questions. So for me, I thought it was normal to ask questions. But as you said, for you, it's like she's being brave. For me, it just comes naturally to ask questions.
Yeah.
And then when I was at school, the other students will nudge me. Come on, Carol, speak up. And I'll be the one asking the questions in the classroom for the others. Because I didn't care. I didn't care to be full or being getting wrong.
Yeah.
And I realized a multipotentialite is so curious. That's part of our DNA. We don't even realize we may be offending people by being so curious and asking too many, you know, personal questions too quickly.
Right.
And we just go in there and ask the questions. So that's.
Okay, well, that's really interesting that I should start off just by that. Because I just remember thinking, being one of these people at SITSEC would love to be able to ask questions, but just like self-doubt. You know, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to sound silly. I'm going to ask a wrong question. What are people going to think? All that stuff. And then you were just there asking questions. So I was just like, oh, she's brave.
And that comes to the next thing is the questions are there to understand, to go in depth with things, not to just, you know, like really understand what's going on with the coaching and everything. And so the love of learning comes second or first, you know, they were like equal. So we're so interested that like in a classroom or an environment like that, we'll be excelling because we really want to get it. And
fascinating. Okay. Yeah. Right. Let's start this conversation then. And I'm just going to ask you by telling us what is a multipotentialite.
Okay. So I would just flip it, say, we're not a specialist.
Okay.
That's the opposite. So if you look at somebody who trained to be a doctor, from their childhood, they will love playing the doctors and nurses and things like that. They know what they want to do straight away. Probably the parents, one of their parents is a doctor or a GP, you know, and then they will go for it. They will study and all their lives, this is what they do, right? A multipotentialite might start off as a doctor and then change, and they have just a lot of interests. And so these interests can be happening at the same time or one after the next. So another way to define a multipotentialite, I think the analogy is quite good, is a hummingbird.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you see a hummingbird, they go and get a bit of pollen and then they go to the next flower, to the next flower. So they get what they need. Like they suck up all the juice and they go somewhere else. So a multipotentialite, you might think, oh, what's going on? I thought he was so passionate about this thing. But once they've learned everything they need to learn, then they might just drop it and move on.
Wow.
Because at this stage, they think, okay, I'm finished. I'm done. I'm bored now. I want to learn something else.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the consequences of that is that they might not be becoming like masters, like, you know, specialists, they become experts. So they might go to a certain degree and then think, I'll go and do something else.
Mm.
So for instance, I've done lots of languages. Well, now because I've lived in the UK, I'm mastering English, but I've got other languages. So it's not as if this is it. I'm an expert at this language. I will probably know a lot of different languages, but not to that level that you would expect an expert to be.
Yeah.
So that's one of the downside probably is like we don't go all the way, but we can, it depends.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So there's no one unique way of being a multipotentialite.
Yeah.
So within a multipotentialite, there's different way of operating as well.
Yeah. So it's characterized really by curiosity, as you said, and just being interested in lots of things. And then doing something to a certain level until, you know, you want to move on to something else. And there's a couple of aspects there that you mentioned that I'd quite like to pick up on about being an expert. We'll come back to that probably. But can you just explain, I know that when you touched upon this as a concept, when you realised what this was, that it was a big realisation for you, an important realisation for you. And obviously that's why we're talking about it today. So why was it such an important realisation for you?
Basically, it was during a coaching session where I was being coached. And basically, I was like, well, what's wrong with me? I don't know what I want to do. I did a bit of this. I did a bit of that. And yeah, I'm good at this. I can do this. There's so many things you can do. Then the choice is much harder because it's, you know, some people are just good at one thing. So it makes their life quite easy.
Yeah.
But as multipotentialite, you can be good at different things. And then you're like, oh, what's wrong with me? Because I did a bit of woodwork for a while. Then I did a massage course. And where am I going with all this? what's wrong with me? That was my big thing. What's wrong with me? And this fantastic coach says, do you know about Emily Wapnick's TED Talk? So that's the first thing I did. I watched it afterwards and I was in tears. I was in tears because I realized, oh my God, there's people like me. Nothing is wrong about me. I'm okay. And that was, I was 50 by then. So imagine if at school we were not told you have to choose the one thing, but what are your interests? And, you know, and then not being mocked if you want something and then you change your mind, like something is wrong about you.
Yeah.
And there's another TED Talk which I recommend to parents. So it's called Bo Grove and it's a student from Belgium, probably in his 15 when he does this TED Talk. And he explains how he works and all these projects, all these fascinating things he has. And he's saying how the school system, especially in Belgium and coming from France, it's the same, it's very specialized. Yeah. You have to decide this is on that track and this is it for life. And
Well, it's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's one of the things I like about the English system is, yes, although you have this kind of thing, you can... People are more open in the UK for career changes and trying new things.
That's the first time I've ever heard the English education system complimented. My eye. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for instance, my son was vivid scientist. He loved physics. So when he picked his A-level, it was all about computer science, maths, you know, like chemistry, all these things. And then he developed this, well, he was always an artist. He loved that. He ignored his mum when he had to make his choices. So he didn't do any art available. And then he changed completely. He taught himself on Photoshop and he was accepted at uni to do concept art.
Oh, great.
He ditched all the sciences and made himself a portfolio and changed route.
Yeah, amazing, amazing.
And that's amazing. And I think... That's how the world should be, that you're allowed to change your trajectory.
Yeah. So as you're saying, you're talking about your experience of learning about this concept for you. You know, what I'm picking up is that there was something about self-acceptance in that for you, that actually there's nothing wrong with me. It's okay.
Yeah, because people, you will have very horrible comments from people. Another idea of yours. Oh, you're trying something new. You're never going to finish it. What's new? Da, da, da. You know, and then it goes on. And then you've got loads of criticism. And then obviously you start thinking self-doubt comes in. Like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah,
I'm not normal. I don't stick to things. You have to stick at things.
Yeah. And, you know, there is a direct link with the self-doubt work in that, you know, what number one, the pressure to feel like we should be doing this one thing to define ourselves and attach ourselves to that, identify ourselves with that, almost the pressure to do that. And then people who struggle to do that. And then, you know, you talked about the criticism and the self-doubt and that kind of negative pit that you'll end up in because you can't get that for yourself. And what's really interesting actually is this isn't my experience, actually. You know, I've actually not really had an issue in feeling that I need to find that one. Well, I guess, you know, feeling that I need to find that one thing. But then I kind of have found that one thing, which was around this project with the purpose of self-doubt, which I feel, you know, I will carry on with this for the rest of my life because it's big enough. But it's not to say that I don't experience self-doubt around that. And I don't go off on tangents. And so let's just have a think about what is it about this pressure to find this one thing? What's that about? Where does that come from?
Well, I think it's societal, if you say that, cultural. Like when you're at the first thing people ask you is, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? That's the first thing. And you have to decide and you have to stick to it. If you keep changing your mind, people like frown upon you. It's like, oh, why do you keep changing your mind? So that comes from that. And also, if you look historically, the industrial time you were either a lawyer or you were a journalist or you were whatever, and that was it. That was you used to have one career, and this career, as you say, would define who you are.
Yeah.
And now, and people would say, you can't be a teacher and be a violinist, or you can't do, but actually, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, as well, when I was, when I started being a coach, I felt really not at place because I didn't have my 9-to-5, my normal job, my label, you know, like something that people can put you in boxes and like, oh, yeah, this is what you are. And I think that's because people get confused. But what are you? You're this, you're that. And they don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's confusing for people because we confuse ourselves because we're like, what's next on the list?
I know. It is such a challenge, though, isn't it? And I remember one of my case studies, actually, I did for the book was the original one. And she was like, she'd given up a career and she'd gone to university and she didn't know what to call herself. And it was just such a pressure for her. She said, what do I say when I meet somebody in a pub? I just want that one thing to be able to say to them so they can put me in a box and then we can move on and, like, you know, have a decent conversation. It was just such a sticking point for her.
That's the other thing which really gets to me is the conversations. When you meet somebody, the first thing they ask you is, what's your job? As if that was your identity. Yeah,
I know.
What do you do for a living? It's like, what about what do you like? What are your passions? What are your interests? That would be so much more interesting than just, are you an electrician? Ah, okay. You know?
I know. And I think people just say it for something to say, but I hate to. The two worst questions for me is, what do you do and where do you come from? I can't answer them. You can't tell people you're a coach. So Mark has just made a comment here. He said, so true, which is why I often hold back and listen and observe to help frame how I want to respond to better meet the system. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just such a skill to be able to do that. Hold back and listen and observe is such a good way to meet that moment if you can. And what stops you meeting that moment is that, like, oh, what should I be saying? How should I be answering these questions?
The funny thing is I never ask these questions. I've got friends. I'm still like, I don't know what they do.
Exactly.
Like, oh, she does something in marketing. Because this is not what's interesting about people.
Do you know what? This is really interesting. So in this day and age, I think it's so, I mean, who understands what people do anyway? Do you know what I mean? We've got some really like bizarre job titles out there these days, haven't we? Which, like, you don't need to understand. And I also think, you know, there's this thing about being an expert. And like, if anybody ever calls me an expert, like people, I've been on a couple of podcasts recently and they say, you're an expert in self-doubt. And I say, I'm not an expert in anything. And I really sort of rail against that expert label because I think, well, as a coach, actually, I think there's a lot of benefit in not having that expert or recognizing that we don't come from that expert perspective.
Otherwise, you lose your curiosity, right?
You lose your curiosity.
You know everything.
You're the one who knows. So there's a real benefit in not having that expert perspective. And so I think there's actually a lot of benefit in just letting go of that needing to be an expert of one thing.
But as you know, you're asking me, what is the problem around multipotentialite, you know, in society, where does that come from and everything? I think that's the problem, is the expert is put on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, you have to specialize, and he specializes almighty.
But then do you know what happens when you become an expert? Is like, you become so certain in your perspective, I know. So this is a lot of what this self-doubt is about, you know, let's get away from I know kind of certainty and be a little bit more in, oh, I don't know, curiosity. That's what this is about, and the challenge of that. And, you know, so when you've got someone as an expert, they've got one perspective. But when you've got somebody who comes in who maybe knows a little bit about this and a little bit about that, what benefit, you know, for innovation? Really,
yeah.
And I think in this day and age, you need that kind of multiple perspective so much better.
Because, really. Because of the experience, the wide range of experiences, we're able to join the dots and see things and be good problem solvers and things like that. So we have, that's the other problem with people with multiple potentiality, things, oh, I'm not good enough, but actually they've got so many transferable skills.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the other challenge, is to make companies realize that. I mean, because I'm more of a career coach, more companies are more open to people with that kind of experiences and transferable skills.
Well, perhaps but I it's recognize. Way,
yeah, yeah, it's a way of selling it. And like yeah. CV might look so disjointed. I've had people say, what is this? What's happening there? Look, there is a common thread. So what I would say to people who are doubting themselves is, I think that's the beauty of life, is it's you're mapping your life with different things and then they all join up at one stage. You're creating your life this way.
I actually really believe that, I think, and that's the approach I've taken. So the other thing I wanted to touch on was just about, you know, obviously we've both trained as coaches, and there's this whole thing about once you've qualified, what's your niche going to be? They go on about your niche, don't they? I hate it.
I'm the same.
Oh, God, I really hate. So there's this pressure and expectation. Yeah. What's your niche going to be? And then this is how you connect with clients. And so I came up with I really saw this analogy around niches recently. So I think I was watching something on the TV and they had like a Benidorm on there. So, you know, Benidorm, I've never been actually to Benidorm, but, you know, they've got the seafront there. And you've got all these cafes and restaurants which are selling English food, and I'm talking about beans, chips, sausages, eggs, you know, full English breakfast, all that crap. And I'm thinking, that's what niching is. So they've gone out to Benidorm and they thought, what does the market want? And they've got all these English tourists out there, they're giving them what they want. When I go to Spain, I want to go to like a lovely tapas restaurant, you know, and you go to a lovely tapas restaurant and they might just do a few amazing things. And that's like, so that's like a specialism, if you like. Mm. But, you know, but I think that's a much healthier way to come from is about, you know, and this is the question I came from when I qualified as a coach was, well, what have I got to offer that's of value? So I didn't really think about the client. I've never really thought about ideal client and who do I want to connect with and who do I want to attract and stuff like that. I just thought, what have I got to offer that I really believe in that's of value? Mm. And that's what's led me onto this work. But it was a roundabout route. Do you know what I mean? I didn't automatically put myself. Mm-hmm. It took me a couple of years to get here. So I think there's that whole thing, that expectation. And I think it can be really I don't know. I just don't think it's healthy.
Well, if we go back to the multi-potentialite, if you try to put someone in the box, this is again, yeah. So it's like the niche. You're trying to put somebody in a tight container. We know exactly. Oh, you deal with people. Da, da, da. So it works for some people. They want to specialize, but if you don't, just embrace it. And it's by talking, people, we get us. And you'll have this connection, and there was like, yeah, I see what you can offer me. Like, if you look at the coach in itself, it's like, oh, yeah, you're curious, you love learning, you love sharing your learning. So these are the things that I can offer.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not specialized in, and I don't want to specialize.
Yeah.
I want to talk to as many, the variety of people, you know, because people said, oh, yeah, you do with students. I was like, no, not only don't put me in a box. I don't want just to talk to students. The age group is varied. It's female, male. It's people from all over the world. You know, that's brilliant.
Yeah, and then you get a much richer experience, don't you, by being able just to connect.
Diversity,
with...
yeah.
Yeah, diversity, of course. And, so important. So you were talking about, I think one of the things you alluded to, what you wanted to cover in this conversation was about the benefit of understanding this for teachers and for parents, you know, leaders in organisations. What do you want to say about that?
Well, don't cut people's dreams, basically, because as children say, I want to be an actor. But you'll never get a job, or... I wanted to be an English teacher. There's nothing special about that. And even that, I was cut down, right? And because when you have like passions and things like that, you will get back to it anyway. Like my sister, she wanted to do art. My mom was like, no, you better do sciences. It's better for you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And at age 26, she retrained. So she changed. She weaved it back into it. So when it's like in you, as a multi-potentialite, you might have these urges and impulses to go into different areas. And you love to let people explore these. So as a parent, I would say, yeah, your child might want different things. So it might become expensive, obviously, because they might want to do dance. You buy all the choo-choo and things, and then they want to do something else. So maybe make them trial it for one session to see if that's really what they want before buying all the kits and everything. Yeah.
Because that's perfect first time.
Yeah, that would be very expensive. But, and also, nothing is wrong if they want to quit that sport or that hobby for something else. It's because they're not interested anymore. You know, the saying I hate the most is you make your bed and you sleep in it or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's it. You're doomed. You've decided this. You have to stick to it for life. And if you, for example, you go to university and after 2 years you realize, I know somebody's done that. The 2 years is like, no, I don't like my biology degree. That's not what I want. And he quit. And people's like, oh, you're failing. No, I say, well done you. You didn't stick to something wasn't for you. You know, we have only one life. Why stay in something that's not working for you? And it's okay. It's not a failure to quit and to say stop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just human, isn't it? I love that, how you're saying about that. It is kind of that accepting that humanity of it. Because I'll tell you how this really relates to me at the moment is that, so I'm writing this book, which has become such a huge challenge for me, far more than I expected it to be. And in fact, this work has been incredibly challenging for me around, you know, the self-doubt stuff. I didn't know what I was setting myself up for. And I'm really, you know, I've written about 80,000 words of this book, and I've come to a stop because, you know, there's a place where I'm actually developing myself around different aspects that have come up. And that's fine, do you know what, on one level. But then I've got my self-doubt gremlins, if you like, saying to me, oh, well, you know, you should be writing this book. You said you were going to do it by then and you haven't done it. And, you know, what it comes down to for me, and I think this is, you know, related to what you were saying there, is I can't force myself anymore. Like, I spent so many years forcing my way through life, like when I was working in organisations, essentially, forcing my way through. And it was kind of a natural way to live for me. And when I, you know, especially around this coaching journey, is like, you know, I just thought, that's not the energy I want to put into my work. I want this to come from my heart. And so that really gets in the way, that kind of expectation of myself to do something.
See, my take on this is, like, as multi-potentialite, you might get, you're on a project, like, let's say you're writing a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you might get distracted, do something else. So you really need to sit with yourself and tap inside. It's what's going on.
Yeah.
Do I want to do this new shiny object, or do I want to stick to it? So what will be the impact? So you have to self-coach or get a coach to see, okay, what is actually happening? Am I getting scared of finishing this project?
Yes,
or do I need to put it on pause and get back to it? So I know you said you don't want to force, but sometimes discipline is necessary for people who have lots of interests, because they might get sidetracked. So I've enforced some discipline in myself to finish things. Like, I was building a violin. So I made a violin from scratch, and that took 3 years.
That's incredible.
And so you could quit easily, because it's like, it's a very long endeavor. But what I used is my mum saying, you never finish it. So I used that voice to say, I'll prove it to you. But actually, it was good, because I'm really happy. I gave this as a gift to my daughter, and I finished it. And I'm really happy I've done it. And then people ask me, are you going to make another one?
Oh, no, make another
one. I'm done with that.
Are you going to become a violin maker?
I don't want to become an expert in violin making. But so sometimes discipline can be good. Why you want this discipline.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, actually, I have always, and this is my pattern working in organisations, I've always been a finisher. Always. Always finished things. I've never been a somebody who likes to leave things unfinished, because that's a very uncomfortable situation for me. And that was always my drive. So in a way, this is a kind of a new experience for me. And I guess this is why it has been creating, like, anxiety and self-doubt and, you know, difficulty, because this is a new pattern. But in that also, there's a lot of there's a lot to learn about myself, you see. I use this, and this is like the principle of the work, is using this as an exploration. What do I learn about myself from this? And then I've allowed myself also to go with the energy of what I do want to do. And it's not that I'm not writing. I'm still writing. I'm writing some articles. And I actually, last couple of weeks, I've written some poetry. And I was like, wow, I didn't know I could write poetry. And
I was like, multi-potentialite as well.
I must be. I think this is, I think it's coming in. But the point is about allowing myself. And I think this is what is relating to what you're talking about, is really allowing yourself to go with that kind of really creative energy, which does take us off. I mean, that's the nature of it, isn't it? And that's kind of one of the beautiful things about being a human, surely.
So what Emily Wapnick is advising or saying to people, like, you know, oh, I'm never finishing things or use a new thing, but as she said, so you have lots of interests. What can go in the back burner? What can be put on hold? Which one is your drive right now, and your gut or your heart, as you mentioned, wanting you to do? And it's okay to put it on hold. So it's not like it's disappearing forever, that you ditch it. You might get it out, or you might not, and it's okay. It's also what I'm thinking is all these rules that we've been given. You have to finish what you start, otherwise you're a bad girl, you know. As I was like, okay, it says who, you know, can we create our own rules? And that would remove the self-doubt, because these rules work for me. And so be it, right?
And I guess that's what you work around in your coaching, is it then? A lot of that stuff, rewriting your own rules and stuff.
Well, that because we all have these scripts, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, which scripts are you running on? Which one is working for you? Which one is obsolete? And how can we change that? And so I think, going back to the multi-potentialite, they will have lots of self-doubt and overwhelm. What am I doing with my life? I'm not finishing anything. I've got so many ideas. And so it's just take a big breath and reassure yourself, and then find ways to make things work together. Like, for example, your book, you might think, well, I can do a 10-page a day, or I don't know, you know. You could find ways to weave everything in without feeling I'm a failure because I've put something on hold.
Right? I think where I've come to so with that is like just really accepting the fact that actually, you know, one of the things is I never have any trouble knowing what to do next. I always know what to do, what I can do. I've always got direction. I never have any problem with that. But one of the things I've kind of really taken a step back and just think about, well, you know, I'm privileged to be doing this work. I want to do it from my heart. You know, it has to come from my heart. That's where my best work comes from. So if it's not coming from there, then, you know, I've got to allow that for myself. I've got to accept that. So what I want to ask you is, for somebody who is struggling with the self-doubt that you're talking about, like, I don't know what I want to do. There's lots of things that I want to do. I'm trying all these things that I want to give it all up now. You know, where would you say, what would you say to them?
Okay, well, as I said, it's been for the children, give something a go. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you want to try a new industry, something. Do you know anybody who you could shadow sometime, maybe for a day? Can you do some volunteering? You know, give it a try to see if that's really what you want to do without spending all your money in something new and then realize, it's not really that thing. And there's a big sense of overwhelm because we want to do so many things. Our to-do list will never finish. I mean, I'm constantly writing new things I want to do, but realizing you can't do it all. So which one is your priority right now? So prioritize and don't overcommit yourself. So it's like saying no to things. And so the multi-potentialite is like the fear of missing out is the big thing.
Right.
So you tend to say yes to everything, and then you go at the end of the day, it's like there's not enough hours to cover all these things. Like at the moment, I want to go back to learning German again because I've just been to Berlin and I'm like, I love this language. I want to pick it up again. But is it really my priority right now? Probably not. So maybe I can find a way to do maybe 30 minutes a week into this. Yeah. And you know, So, yeah, so what else? Yeah, talk to people who are doing this new job you fancy or this new hobby. And not everything you want to take on has to be monetized. I remember we had this conversation before when you were coaching me, actually, and I was like, oh yeah, I want to do things in education, and then you mentioned that to me. You said, but not everything has got to be monetized, and that stayed with me because we always think either it's a business or a hobby, so everything you take on doesn't have to be your new career. You can stay as a hobby.
It takes a huge amount of expectation out, doesn't it, if you don't have to make an income from this. I mean, gosh, yeah, it changes everything, doesn't it?
So if you feel your multi-potential, I can't say this word, so I'm coming back. So Emily Wapnick has created a tribe, so it's a putty-like, so it's you pay a subscription to be part of it, and then you mingle with people like you, like-minded people. So then all of a sudden you don't feel like, I don't belong anywhere. And the other thing I would say to people like that is to reassure other people, like their partners, their family, that what they're doing is okay. Mm. I mean, my sister is a much bigger multi-potentialite than me because she's done cinema, art, then she started doing sewing, then she became a librarian. Now she's doing school buses, you know, like she's done screenplay writing. She's doing so many things.
When you say that to me, I just think, wow, what that sounds like a really rich life.
Then you will have my mum saying, oh, I've seen there's a job advert for a bank manager. It's like, what? She's not getting me at all. Why? So people, you've got this outside world wanting you to have the paycheck, making enough money. So there's loads of anxiety out there and they give it to you. Where actually these people, like my sister, they want to be creative. I have a bit of an income. So she's got this school bus driving thing to get the income, and then she's got enough time to do what she likes, be creative.
Wonderful.
So people can be having portfolio career. They don't have to have the one career. They can have several careers. So they could have a part-time job.
That's more normal nowadays. I mean, when I say normal, I hate that word, actually. Banned word. Yeah, you know. But, you know, it's more, I guess, common
accepted.
To have. Accepted. That's a good word. Yeah, I like that.
So I think, we need to explain that jack of all trades, it's not bad, and we're okay, and we're not.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's a benefit.
Yeah. So spin it round and show the benefits of being somebody like that.
Yeah. Great. So we've got a couple of people joined us here. So if the time has come, if you want to jump in with us and ask a question or make a contribution, what's coming up for you around this topic, just feel free to unmute yourself and join in the conversation. But at the same token, absolutely no pressure to do that. We will close off the recording in about 10 minutes. And then if you don't want to come in the recording, but you still want to say something, you can wait till then. So I'll just keep an eye out. If you want to jump in at any point, please feel free to do that. We'll carry on chatting. And then, if you want to come on, we'll just stop and make space for you. Very welcome, but no pressure. Someone else is just jumping on the call. So Carol, what are you up to at the moment? How many projects have you got on the plate at the moment?
Yeah, how many projects do I have? I'm creating a career coaching program.
Oh yeah, I've seen that on Instagram. Great time to be doing this.
I'm starting to go corporate because I'm really fascinated with the executive world. And then I still have the education group with Animus, so talking to other coaches about education, which is my big passion as well. Mm. So I've done the body-oriented coaching, so that's my new thing. I like doing the somatic work and diving in into the neuroscience, everything. So I'm constantly learning, and I'm just part. I'm loving it. I'm loving my life.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, one of these, so Cecilia just jumped in. She's happy to ask a question just for further tips on exploring intentionality whilst creating limits so things get done.
What do you mean, Cecilia, then exactly?
Yeah, so I resonated with everything that you said, and I think I'm also like a curious mind. But I guess it's kind of balancing that desire to want to explore and learn more intentionally while still kind of having boundaries within that, so that because I could spend every week going off new mental adventures and explorations and then come to the end of the week and be like, oh, what have I achieved? So yeah, I just wondered if you had like further tips on how to kind of feed that.
Well that's the thing is, what do you want to achieve, Cecilia?
So yeah, it's kind of like business growth and things like that. But again, when you're curious, there are so many different things you can delve into.
Yeah, but I think there's a different way of looking at it. You might think, oh, I'm wasting my time. I said, no, your heart is taking you somewhere and there might be a gem there. If you close the door, you might notice something really, which is you. It's like me with coaching. I could have said, no, I'm carrying on with teaching, for instance. So you might look at it as like, I'm wasting my time. I would say, rephrase it and say, where's this new exploration taking me? There might be something there for me.
As you're saying that, Carol, what's coming up for me is that about the trust, because I think that's one of the things that's been absolutely key and obviously massively related to self-doubt, is around trusting that, you know, I can go and follow my heart and this passion and, you know, go down this road and trust that it's going to lead me somewhere and trust that it's going to come back to the place that's necessary. And I love this talk about intention, about approaching things with intention. I think that's so relevant. And I guess how that related to what I spoke about was my intention was, what do I have of value to offer? That was my intention. That's what drove me. So intention, about being able to define intention, and it might not be immediately obvious, is that kind of that core thing that can help to drive you, you know? So that's brilliant.
And the other thing is that in our world, we always want certainty.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a lot of people come to coaching. I want to be on the right path. I want to make the right choice. And but that's the beauty of life. It will take you somewhere. And
this certainty is so boring. Beautiful.
and yeah, it's about trusting the process, having faith in life that whatever you do is going to lead you somewhere you don't know. And that's okay not to know. Yeah. Embrace uncertainty.
Is that helpful, Cecilia?
Yes, very. Thank you. It's kind of seeing it as actually, a wonderful adventure that my heart is leading me to probably further synchronicities that will support me. And I love the point that you made around intention. Because then that always kind of gives us a sense of peace, knowing that we're always operating from the intention of discovering the gifts that we have, or the intention of whatever it might be. So that was a lovely reminder, actually. Thank you.
Really powerful. Thanks. Hey, Mark.
Oh.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I think, you know, thank you, Cecilia, because that's kind of was my reflection, is this idea that when I look at what I've done throughout my life, and you talk about completion, Olivia, it was interesting because I can see pockets of my growth and development where I got so intense into a subject. And that could be one time I watch all the old Italian spaghetti westerns, because I really loved, and so there's a western thing. And then there's a phase in my life where I was really into billiards and pool, and, you know, got my own stick, and I got good at it, but I haven't played in 15 years. Or, you know, I got into learning about putting together a computer. But never did it become my focus. And a lot of these things might have happened, you know, 10, 15 years ago that I never even thought about again. And so there's that concept of, were those activities, and I believe that, I mean, they helped develop me as an individual, but I never really completed them or said I became an expert. And in fact, I just loved putting my hands and learning about little things in little pockets. But then there comes that self-doubt is, you know, that I know a lot of things, but I'm a master of none, right? Mm, and
that old phrase.
About that. Yeah, I'm worried about that sometimes, thinking that, oh, you know, am I wasting it? Could I put all my focus into one thing and been this great expert? But, you know, I'm learning to understand that that's what fulfilled me. And I, you know, I didn't want to be the perfect, I didn't want to be the expert on Italian spaghetti westerns. Like that wasn't my goal, but I embraced it and I learned from it. And then it brought me to, oh, I learned about another genre or another something, you know, guitar led me to playing ukulele, and I haven't touched my guitar in 15 years, but I play my ukulele all the time. Wow. And it, to the point where I forgot how to play my guitar, but I don't care because I love my ukulele. So, you know, embracing that steps of realizing that, yeah, that's fine. And now, you know, and Olivia, you know this about my career change, is thinking I'm diving into a subject of belonging and that, mm-hmm. and now there's something else. And it's like, ah, but what I really appreciated the timeliness of this conversation was understanding that I don't need to let go of that passion. And it just might look differently. You know, to me, it was a business, but now it's not. If I'm if I'm taking this full-time role, this is, and it's not a side hustle. You know, people go, whoa, this is my side. No, it's my passion, and, yeah. and I can still do it, and it just may look different. And I think I just need to accept that it's going to look different.
Yeah, wonderful.
This word of acceptance again, right?
Yeah. I think it's really coming back.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I've listened to people who have just contributed there, and, you know, now listen to the experience of somebody who's going from passion to passion to passion. I think, wow, you know, for me, as I'm listening, I'm connecting with the passion that people are bringing, and I'm connecting with the richness and the variety of the experience of life. And I just think, well, why would you not want that? You know, isn't that a wonderful, beautiful way to live?
Yeah, I think for multipotentialite, we always look at the other side of the fence, yeah, where you always think the grass is greener, oh, this expert is, you know, is like, oh, you know, like I've done lots of different sports. I've never been able to win competitions because I was never long enough in that sport. So if you look at somebody like Federer or Nadal in their tennis, they're so brilliant. You're like, oh, yeah, but.
Yeah, but what do they have to do to get there?
That's how they are. We wire differently, and it's okay to be different.
Yeah.
And but does our system and culture respect and reward the, you know, those that can excel rather than appreciate just the doing, right? And I come from a sport and rec background, and a lot of the work that I'm doing is this idea that we have so much focus on competition and development instead of play and social connections.
Yeah.
And the system isn't built for play and social connection. The system is built for success. And so you think about all, and so at university, I started off with a math program at the University of Waterloo. So the only math program outside of MIT where you could get a math degree. And I was taking actuarial science. I ended up with a 4-year arts degree, realizing I didn't want to focus only on math. And I took physics and chemistry and English literature and classical studies and children's studies, psychology. And I loved it.
Fantastic.
But whoo, did I get some eyes from family and friends going, what are you going to do with that degree? I don't know. But in hindsight, I'm lucky that I did choose that. And I had that experience because I feel more fulfilled. But at the time, it really felt like I'm way behind because the culture and systems don't appreciate that type of learning opportunities. And then you feel like I'm behind on the rat race. So again, I can accept now.
Do you want to be on the right race? Huh?
Exactly. But I thought I did.
Yeah. And I think that hits the nail on the head. It's about what the system rewards and what, you know, competition, winners, success, what we and then how we define those things, because that's what's rewarded. So I think that hits a nail on the head, really.
If there are any people picking their university, wanting to know which subjects to do, I always said that to my students. I said, pick something you're really passionate about. Not, oh, I will pick this because it will give me this career. Because tell you the truth, I mean, you can retrain so many times. Like, mm-hmm. I have done business studies. Okay, it's serving me as an entrepreneur, but I haven't used it all these years. Then I became a teacher. So, but I love what I was studying.
Yeah.
And that's what matters.
That's what will carry you through. That's what will help you in your passion. Wonderful. So we've come up to time, but not to the end, so do stick around. We'll finish off the recording and then stick around for another chat if you want to. But so just to finish off, Carol, what are you available for and where can people find you?
So Carol Douillot is my name. So they can find me on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and I've got a website which is CD Coaching.
I'll put some links in for you.
Yeah, and CD is for collaborative dialogue. So lots of, yeah, I love that. Way of working, very collaborative. Yeah,
lovely. All right, that's wonderful. So thanks so much for the wonderful conversation and all the passion and richness that's come through. I've really enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy listening back to this tomorrow as well. And just to say, next week we'll be back here at the same time, and I have organizational consultant Andrew Gibbons coming along, and we're going to talk about learning to learn. And Andrew's quite character, I think you'll enjoy seeing him. So that brings us to the end, and thank you again, Carol. Thanks for everyone who's joining us, and I'll see you next week.